Our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. Listen now for the word of God. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As Jesus entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God, except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go. Go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I think for these two stories, you don't necessarily have to be all solemn and quiet about it. I mean, in both stories, it's like, what the heck? And I think the ancient times when people heard this story, they were more likely to get the humor in it. Naaman said, "Look, we got rivers in Syria. What do you mean I got to wash in the Jordan 7 times? Are you crazy?" "Yes, do it. Shush." And Jesus says, 10 people were healed. Only one comes back to thank me. Come on, what is the problem here?" Can you hear that voice in those readings? 11 people are healed. Only 2 show gratitude. Naaman, the Syrian, or Aram, whatever the country we call it, Syria today. He's healed of skin disease. His skin is now shiny and youthful, and he declares the God of Israel, the one true and only God. And he offers Elisha presents. And Elisha says, "You don't have to give me any presents. Everything's good." Meister Eckhart was a Dominican priest and a mystic who lived in the late 1200s and the early 1300s. He wrote this: "If the only prayer you ever said in your whole life was, 'Thank you,' that would suffice." 10 people with skin disease are healed by Jesus. Scholars are now saying, we don't think it was leprosy. We've been translating those words wrong. Some sort of skin disease. Only one of them returns to say thank you to Jesus. Only one person expresses his or her gratitude, even kneels before Jesus in thanksgiving. Jesus asked the witnesses, "Were not 10 made clean? So where are the other 9? Only the foreigner, only the Samaritan, you know how they were, came and said thanks. Presbyterian elder and writer Anne Lamott writes in her book, Help, Thanks, Wow, that most of the time for me, gratitude is a rush of relief that I dodged a bullet. I mentioned in my letter in the archive this week that early in my ministry, an older colleague said to me, "Look, there are going to be hard days in ministry. So when you get those thank you notes that people send to you, put them in your drawer. And then, when you have a miserable day, pull out one of those thank you notes and read it." I saved a lot of thank you notes since 1985. And I have to confess that I have not needed to go to them very often at all. Call it the blessings bucket, if you will. Because my experience at the Garden City Presbyterian Church on Long Island, and my experience at Woods Memorial Church in Severna Park for 7 years, and my experience with serving 34 years here at Ark and Dove has, for the vast majority of time, been a joy, not a burden. I read them all over the last 2 weeks. Some I read twice or three times. I offered thank you to every note to God. And as anti-clutter guru Marie Kondo, my spouse Kelly, and Pastor Jen suggested, I put them in the recycle bin with tender memories, some measurable grief, and a healthy dose of gratitude, and I moved on to write this sermon. Even when we live lives in fear, in tension, in anxiety, like we are experiencing under Despot Don, it is important for us to live with gratitude. Gratitude is an attitude of thanksgiving for all the good things, all the loving people in our lives. It was a great exercise we had with the children's sermon. Gratitude is actually an elixir for facing the shock and the awe that this administration is hell-bent on destroying our mental health. And with any who disagree with this vision of Christo-fascism that's playing out in Washington. Gratitude is a treasure. It's something that we can lock away in our hearts. It is protection from becoming too cynical or too depressed. Mrs. Mooney, Bonnie and Dick Shadle, Larry and Connie Warner, Richard Colin, Mary Lou Caravetto, Mr. Moore, Mr. and Mrs. Tatum, Mr. Hutton, were all youth and children leaders in my home church of Bethany Presbyterian Church on Long Island. I share their names not because you'll ever get to know them, but to thank all of you who work in godly play, in Logos, in youth ministry, in Sunday school, in the nursery, in all the various ministries in our church that serve children and youth. And I want you to think about the fact that at age 66, I can still remember my Sunday school teachers and my youth group leaders from 50, 60 years ago. And so that's kind of the thanks to you in advance. The children will remember you. The youth will remember you. And they will say, wow, that was important. Thanks for shaping the children of our church. I am not fond of that expression that the children and youth of a congregation are the church of the future. I really don't like that at all. I'm much more aligned with the idea that they are the church now, and that we engage in ministry with them together, and that the ministry we engage in is valuable for both the young people and the adults. I offer my gratitude to you for your gifts of time and energy, sweat, because children and youth are a real treasure. And treasure's our theme this year as we think about stewardship. Now, the source is disputed. Some say it was Martin Luther. Some say it was someone else. But there's this phrase that when you sing, you pray twice. Pray with the words, you pray with the tune. Pardon the pun, but our choirs, band, and musicians are some of the most unsung heroes in our church. They come to rehearsal every midweek. They show up here on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock for another rehearsal, and sometimes they have rehearsals in between just to make sure they got it right. Worship doesn't just happen. It's planned for months in advance with staff and worship leaders and our music, under the leadership of Dr. Rebecca Bell Eccles. And her leadership is outstanding and often breathtaking. I hope those of you that are not musicians understand the treasure we have here in this music ministry. It's really something. Well, as Doug told you, our stewardship ministry has been meeting since early September to present a picture to you of what we need to conduct ministry at Ark and Dove in 2026. The resources we need as a congregation, the treasures we need to conduct ministry are people. People with creative energy and dedication, even for small ministry tasks. People who are willing to lead and or follow and to lend their talents to the church, and people who are willing to be generous stewards of their financial resources. Over the next 8 weeks, our elders and deacons in consultation with staff will offer you their plan. Two of our leaders spoke today. My sense is that our church needs about a 10% increase in giving, financial giving, and a 10% increase in doers and leaders and task undertakers in order to be able to provide the ministry for you in the community that you think we should have, that you would want in our congregation. And remember, not every household in our church is able to increase their giving by 10%. So some will need to do better. Now, I've preached at least one stewardship sermon every year since 1985. I almost got in trouble in Woods for my first stewardship sermon, because I took Schedule B, I crumpled it up, and I threw it at the congregation. I said, there's no deductions in God's economy. And some people took offense at the young associate pastor. But I have to say that the head of staff was cracking up and loved it. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, I preached 100 stewardship sermons over the last 40 years. My job description here at Ark and Dove calls for me to lead stewardship efforts here. You pay me to torture you. But this is the first time in 40 years I can say that I'm preaching a stewardship sermon without that slight conflict of interest, which is like, if you increase your giving, then my salary goes up. I'm free. I'm not getting an increase. This sermon's not for me. This part of it, anyway. In the past, you know, if there was a large enough increase, then you get a salary. It's not that I don't have a dog in this fight, so to speak. I want Ark and Dove to grow. I want it to go in gratitude. I want to make sure it continues on its trajectory. But this is the first time I will not benefit financially from an increase in your giving. And still, I feel strongly that there should be an increase, because you are a great church. And this is going to be a year of transition. And transitions are tricky. And your ideas and your time and your finances are needed. Continued generous support of your church is a way of showing gratitude to God. Now, as I look back on our 34-year-long relationship as partners, congregation and pastor, I'm sometimes overwhelmed with thanksgiving by the level of emotional, vocal, professional, and spiritual support that you have all shown me. So many kindnesses above and beyond the thank you notes. So many smiles and handshakes and hugs, so many deep conversations. To be trusted with the most important things in your life is a huge privilege. That vulnerability we had in conversations at your aha and oh crud moments. It is an incredible honor to have been entrusted with the stewardship of your hearts. That relationship is sacred, as is all relationships between congregants here in this congregation. And because it is sacred, and because to travel together in time is sacred, we must remember what the sage writes in the book of Ecclesiastes, that there is a time for everything under heaven. A time to laugh, and a time to cry, a time to gather and a time to let go, a time to build things up and a time for reconstruction. My translation. We have laughed and cried. We have gathered and built. We're sitting in it. Now in gratitude, we must say thanks to each other and let go. We have to let each other go. It's time for us to say goodbye with gratitude. So really, over the next 2 weeks, that's what I'm going to focus on. You can send me an email about some small item of church business, but I doubt I'll get to it. I'm going to be working on other things. I'm going to be working on expressing gratitude. I'm going to be focusing on farewells. Now, when I was a young person, young adult, at Bethany Presbyterian Church, I was ordained as an elder. And I took a vow, among others, just as every elder, deacon, and pastor does, to be a friend to my colleagues in ministry. And I consider my colleagues clergy, deacons, and elders, because that's the way the Presbyterian Church works. It's a shared authority, laity and clergy, except we ordain our laity. We're weird on that account. Unique, okay? If you are an elder or a deacon, I, together with one of our associate pastors, and John is in the room, by the way, if you're back here visiting for the weekend, thank you, John. We asked you to take that same vow, one of us. We go back and forth with the questions when we ordain elders and deacons. So now, since we have officially dissolved our pastoral relationship at the congregational meeting, and it is effective on October 26th after worship, it would be a violation of clergy ethics, and it would do damage to this congregation's future and to the ministry of the interim pastor and the ministry of the permanent pastor that comes after the interim if we don't cut the cord. Do we want to do damage to their ministry? Ecclesiastes, there's a time to sow and a time to tear. We have to accept the new reality that we become friends and friends only. If I violate this agreement, I'll be hurting the church, this church. And if you violate this understanding, you'll be hurting me, and you'll be placing me in a very difficult place. We didn't pour 34 years into this congregation just to F it up with sentimentality, okay? So our best path forward is to give thanksgiving and gratitude for what we have done. We got 2 weeks. And then to wholeheartedly pray and pour ourselves into our separate futures. I will earnestly pray for your interim pastor and for the new pastor. One last expression of gratitude in this sermon. Maybe I should have put this in the newsletter, but nobody would have read it. One third, maybe. Once at a meeting of our mission ministry recently, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, a member asked out loud, why should we support the mission of the Presbytery of Baltimore? Why should we give this $3,000 to the PCUSA, the National Church? It's a good question. We should ask that question. As a PCUSA congregation, we have the freedom to engage in whatever mission projects we want to. But on the other hand, we work cooperatively and collegial with 60 other churches in the Presbytery of Baltimore. We are a connectional denomination. And here, right here in Anne Arundel County, we're partners with First Church of Annapolis and Prince of Peace and I think Christ our Anchor, in the Start the Adventure in Reading program. And we're partners with Christ our Anchor, with First Presbyterian Church of Annapolis, with Woods Presbyterian in Anne Arundel connecting together. We work cooperatively with these other five churches all the time. And the three of us are in the 4A Gay Alliance group in the county. So that's what Presbyterians do. We work ecumenically and we work cooperatively with our sister congregations that are nearby. All right, speaking of starting congregations, because that's one of the things that Presbyterians do is start congregations. Nobody from the first service says anything. Here's a survey question. How much money did the Presbytery of Baltimore, the Presbyterian churches in Baltimore Presbytery, and the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA give to Ark and Dove to start this church? To make sure that we had a place to worship. Was it C, $868,000, B, $579,000, A, $262,000, D, combined giving of $1.2 million, or E, they hardly gave us a dime. What do you think?
D.
Any other answers? We got more variety of answers at the first service, didn't we? It is D. The PCUSA, the Presbytery of Baltimore, our sister congregations in the Presbytery of Baltimore gave us over $1.2 million in between 1991 and 2003. So if we're spending $6,000 a year on mission for Presbyterian Church USA and the Presbytery of Baltimore, it only took us 200 years to pay them back. But there's other ways that we have paid them back in that we show a way of ministry, a way of being church that has not lost ground in the face of Christianity losing ground in almost every place in America. Let's always hold in our hearts that immense debt of thanksgiving and appreciation for what our denomination did for us in this place. To forget or to disparage or ignore the Presbytery of Baltimore would be a bright red steam flowing frowny face on our record. I have deep gratitude for what the Presbyterian Church did for us both spiritually and financially, and I just wanted to be sure to hold that up in these last 2 weeks. We wouldn't be here if they had helped us. And so I'm closing with a quote from Father Richard Rohr, a Franciscan priest, a really cool guy. I'm closing with this quote, because you are a great congregation. All the truly great persons I have ever met are characterized by what I would call radical humility and gratitude. They are deeply convinced that they are drawing from another source. They are instruments. That their genius is not their own, it is borrowed. We are moons, not suns. Except in our ability to pass on the light. Our life is not our own, yet at some level, enlightened people know that their life has been given to them as a sacred trust. They live in gratitude and in confidence, and they try to let the flow continue through them. They know that love is repaid by love alone. Amen.